This is Alfred Beauvais, Editor-in-Chief of AXL. AXL is the American College of Cardiology Extended Learning Series, featuring conversations in cardiology with the scientists who conduct research in our field and the clinicians who are translating that research into clinical practice. You are about to hear an interview from our latest issue. As an AXL subscriber, you will receive 24 new interviews each month. Plus, depending on your subscription level, we'll have access to hundreds of interviews in our digital library. With AXL, you can stream or download your content for convenient offline access on your mobile device, and each interview qualifies for CME credit and MOC self-assessment points. For more information, visit acc.org/ACCEL.
Up next, Eric Michelson is joined by Dr. Brendan Everett, Assistant Professor of Medicine at the Harvard School of Medicine in Boston, Massachusetts. They cover anti-inflammatory therapy with canakinumab and incident type 2 diabetes, a pre-specified key secondary endpoint of the CANTOS trial.
Welcome.
Thank you, Eric.
The CANTOS trial, C-A-N-T-O-S. What does CANTOS stand for?
CANTOS stands for the canakinumab anti-inflammatory thrombosis outcomes study.
From my perspective as a cardiologist, I thought CANTOS was a real paradigm-shifting trial. As a foundation, can you tell us again, remind us about the primary results of the major trial?
I would agree with you. It really was a very different approach to treating cardiovascular disease. So CANTOS enrolled 10,061 patients who had established coronary artery disease and residual inflammatory risk, so as measured by an hsCRP of 2 milligrams per liter or higher, and then randomized those patients to one of four treatment arms.
Which were?
Three doses of canakinumab, so 50, 150, and 300, and then a placebo arm, and then followed patients for a median of 3.7 years and looked for the primary endpoint of MACE, so MI, stroke, or cardiovascular death, as well as MACE plus, which was MACE plus unstable angina requiring unplanned coronary revascularization.
What were the results?
So in aggregate, there was a 15% approximately relative risk reduction with active canakinumab therapy. The dose that seemed to be the most effective was 150 and 300. The 50 milligram dose didn't have an independently significant difference from placebo. And so it appears that going forward, if the company and when the company decides to pursue a label, that those two doses are the ones that are likely to be available to cardiologists.
And what was the absolute benefit that you saw?
So the absolute benefit was just less than a percentage point, approximately 0.7 absolute risk reduction for major adverse cardiovascular events.
And what is the putative mechanism for this intervention that makes it so distinctive?
Well, I think that's an excellent question. So canakinumab operates in a very different way than the way we typically think of preventing cardiovascular disease, for example, with LDL reduction. It specifically targets IL-1 beta. It's an IL-1 beta inhibitor. That's an interleukin, which is involved in what's called the NLRP inflammasome. So a inflammatory system in cells that has been shown to be important in the development and progression of vascular disease. We found in CANTOS that by directly targeting that particular molecule, we could reduce cardiovascular events. And there was no effect of canakinumab on LDL cholesterol or other measures that we would typically think of as being important to reducing cardiovascular events.
Now, in this aspect of the trial being published in JACC, could you tell us a bit about why the interest in incident, that is, the development of new type 2 diabetes?
That's a great question. So as you know, there's been for a long time this common soil hypothesis is what it's sometimes called, where patients who have ongoing subclinical inflammation are at risk for cardiovascular disease and for other diseases such as diabetes. And there's specific animal and cellular experiments have shown that some of that inflammation is important in insulin resistance impaired insulin production by pancreatic beta cells, and ultimately in the development of diabetes. Prior evidence in a trial by Larson and colleagues suggested that an IL-1 receptor antagonist, so a slightly different drug, could actually improve hemoglobin A1C in patients with established type 2 diabetes. So we were very enthusiastic going into CANTOS that this might be an alternative way to prevent people from developing diabetes. Mm-hmm. And so we pre-specified that that was a key endpoint of the trial.
What did you find?
Well, we found a couple things. First of all, we reiterated prior work that showed that at baseline, inflammatory biomarkers, including IL-6 and CRP, were associated with future risk of diabetes. And then we were able to demonstrate that canakinumab was associated with reductions in hemoglobin A1C, particularly amongst those with prediabetes at baseline. Finally, the pre-specified hypothesis specifically asked us to address whether or not diabetes was prevented in patients with prediabetes at baseline.
And how was that ascertained?
So diabetes was ascertained at regularly scheduled clinic visits, both by the local investigators asking the patients if they had started any new diabetic medications.
So this is the same time they're getting their usual 3-monthly injections.
Correct. Correct. And then patients also had periodic assessments for their fasting plasma glucose and hemoglobin A1C. The combination of those three things, hemoglobin A1C, fasting plasma glucose, and new medication use, were adjudicated centrally by a committee of endocrinologists who determined whether or not diabetes was a new diagnosis for that particular
patient. And so overall, what was the incidence of new diabetes, and did the treatment make a difference?
So the rate of new diabetes was approximately 4.5 cases per 100 person years, so about 4.5%. And we did not find that canakinumab reduced the occurrence of diabetes amongst those with prediabetes at baseline. In spite of having substantial and significant effects on IL-6 and CRP concentrations, and in spite of having a early effect on hemoglobin A1C that was present for the first 9 to 12 months of the trial, over the entire duration of the trial, we did not see a reduction in the risk of type 2 diabetes amongst those randomly allocated to active canakinumab as compared to placebo.
So it seems like there was early encouragement, but relatively disappointing longer term. How do you interpret those results?
Well, I think the results are, first of all, important and informative, but they are neutral. There's no doubt that in aggregate, we did not see a reduction in diabetes. The way I interpret them is that IL-1 beta inhibition with canakinumab is a relatively quite targeted approach for anti-inflammatory therapy. Other less targeted approaches, such as salicylate, have shown evidence of benefit, and it may be that the IL-1 receptor antagonist anakinra also has broader effects than canakinumab on the key inflammatory pathways that affect the development of diabetes. I'm optimistic that other trials that use less specific anti-inflammatory agents may actually have a benefit on diabetes. And in fact, we're testing that question in one of our ongoing trials now.
And one final reassuring question, in patients then with diabetes in this trial, was the benefit either relative or absolute, at least comparable? Because these are high-risk patients.
Yeah. So that's an excellent question, and perhaps should have been the thing that I told you first off, is that we looked very carefully at patients who had diabetes, prediabetes, and normal glucose at baseline to see whether the effects of canakinumab on our key cardiovascular endpoints was the same. And indeed, we found that it was equally efficacious amongst patients who had diabetes and did not have diabetes at baseline.
And we're not yet ready for this to be available as a treatment, correct?
Yeah, my understanding is that the FDA is going to review the data and that there's likely to be a decision between Novartis, who makes the product, and the FDA sometime in the next 6 to 9 months.
Well, thank you very much for being a champion of this.
You're welcome, and thank you for having me on today.
This is Alfred Beauvais, Editor-in-Chief of Axel, and you've been listening to an interview from our recent issue. For more information on how to subscribe to Axel and receive additional interviews published each month, go to acc.org/accel.